Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guest tonight is Isabel Ruiz-Cano. She's the assistant curator at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art. And among the many things we're going to talk about tonight is the new exhibition, Fuzue, Invention and Imagination in the Art of Roger Mello. Isabel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm so happy to be here.
Looking at Roger Mello's art is amazing. Talk to me, you know, one thing I never asked anybody from the Eric Carle Museum, is how do you discover artists like this and decide to do an exhibition of their work?
Yeah, well, we're very lucky as a museum. You know, we've been open for 22 years now. So
you have a reputation.
Yes, we have a reputation, and we have just connections with publishers, with artists. Roger, we first heard about actually when he did a program for us with Peter Cease, who's a renowned picture book artist, and he and Roger are very close friends. So they had an online lecture discussion that was going on, and that's when Ellen Kider, our chief curator at the time, really fell in love with Roger's art and sort of had him in the back of her mind for an exhibition in the future.
How would you describe, and this is a tough one, how would you describe Roger Mello's art?
I think the title of the show really sort of encapsulates that, right? So the title is Fuzue, which is this expression that means sort of playful commotion. You're a little bit all over the place. You're not afraid to experiment. You're kind of vanny, but you also are very aware of your surroundings. I think Roger is someone who is very socially aware. He's very connected to the world, and what he really tries to do with his picture book is incite that same curiosity in his readers. He trusts you as a reader and as a viewer of his art to come up with a story of your own.
Now, he's had books out, books like You Can't Be Too Careful, Feather, and Charcoal Boy. When you're exhibiting, are you exhibiting his original artwork in this show?
Yes, we are exhibiting his original artwork. Roger came over in February, hand transporting all of his artwork.
Oh my God! And
he brought it over, and we had an incredible time just looking through it, picking what we really wanted to see on the walls. And it's such an incredible opportunity to be able to see it, because there's a very big difference between what you see on the printed page and what you see in real life, especially with Roger's work. A lot of his work is collage. It's very textural. And you just can't get those textures back when you print them, even though, you know, our modern reproduction technologies are amazing and colors are super faithful. Just getting to see that texture and seeing the scale of his work is an incredible opportunity.
Is this work larger than it appears when it's in a book?
It isn't. It's actually done to size. So Roger really thinks of the book as a whole while he's making it. So he wants to be able to sort of imagine how someone is handling his book while he's making the artwork so that he can fit in the correct amount of detail. Because, of course, when you resize something, you know, you'll lose some of that detail. It won't look as crisp or it'll just look a little wonky. So he really tries to make everything to size. There's just a couple of instances where there might be a slightly larger, but it is a very unique part of his process.
Now, what materials is he using besides collage?
Well, part of the collage is, you know, collage is a very broad term that we use.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of mixed media approach, and you're usually using some sort of adhesive. So if you're pasting, even when you paste paper on paper, we describe that as collage. But he started off doing a lot of color pencil work that was very meticulous. And that's what you can see with You Can't Be Too Careful, which was originally published in 1999. And then he actually moved on to using wall paint. So the wall paint that you get at Sherwin-Williams, at Home Depot, that's what he loves to use because he says he has the widest range of colors available. And Roger is all about color, and he can get it anywhere in the world. He can't find an art supply store in the world, but he can find a hardware store that will mix the exact color that he wants. So Roger, even though he's based off in Brazil, he travels a lot for work and for inspiration just because of the nature of illustration. You know, you're working with a lot of different people. You get commissioned to do artwork for books by other authors, not just by yourself. And he just loves to travel. So he's rarely at home. We actually asked him for, you know, pictures of his studio because that's something that we love to show. And he said, well, I don't really have a studio. You know, it's halfway, you know, sometimes I'm in Korea and sometimes I'm in Chicago and sometimes I'm here in Brazil.
Wow. Now that's a job. That's a job. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. So we were talking about collage. He's used plastic bags for the collage?
Yes, he's used plastic bags. So there's two books that Roger has made using plastic bag collage because they talk about the social conditions of poverty in Brazil and sort of this association that we have with pollution and poverty and just sort of the conditions of where you're living.
Mm-hmm.
The first book is called Meninos do Mangue, which translates to mangrove boys. So it's about these children that live in the mangroves of northeast Brazil that are a very heavily polluted area nowadays.
Yep, yep.
But the people that live there still sort of adapt their environment to make it livable and try to make the best of it. So in order to sort of reflect this place that they live in, Roger decided to use the materials that people live with. So he layered down and crumpled up the plastic bags, and then he would paint on top of them. And he did the same thing for Charcoal Boys. And in Charcoal Boys, it's a story about actually child labor, because for many, many years, even since they started, and I think it was like the 19th century, charcoal mines in Brazil, children have had to work there to help support their families. So Roger tells you the story again of two children that work in these charcoal mines, and he really liked the really black color of these plastic bags that he had used previously, so he kept using that. And he limited his color palette to just black, neon pink, and neon orange for Charcoal Boys. And so you get that sort of sense of being in the heat from seeing how he mixes all of these materials.
Are these books or any of the books going to be available at the Eric Carle during the exhibition?
Yes, they are. So we have a copy of all of his books.
I meant for sale, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the great things the Eric Carle does,
mm-hmm.
is that every time I've gone there and there's been an exhibition, there have been books in the exhibition space where you can look at the examples of the art in the book.
Yes, we really pride ourselves in that and trying to, you know, contextualize these works. And it's incredible when you see someone pick up the book and then go and find the artwork on the wall.
I love that. That's excellent. Now, does he do work not for illustration for books? Does he do his own work?
He does. He's done. He does commissions a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be various organizations that are some usually related to literature. So the International Board for Books for Young People, IBBY, is an international renowned nonprofit organization that focuses on fostering children's literacy and the children's book publishing industry throughout the world, really trying to work with developing countries to help them develop this this industry within their own spaces. And they're the ones that confer the Hans Christian Andersen Award, which is sort of like the Oscars for children's book illustration that Roger won in 2014. He was the first Latin American artist to do so.
Fantastic. Now, so, let's get some of the basics of the exhibition up. How many works are going to be on show?
So we have about, I believe, 84 works on show.
Wait a minute. Did I hear 84?
Yes, around 84. But that counts, you know, we'll be displaying like five separate works in a case. Right. Okay. We'll show you model books. We'll show you sketches.
Wow.
On the walls, we have about, I think, maybe 60.
That's amazing. So this is a huge exhibition. It's going to be up till January 5th, 2025. Yes. Are there going to be any special events around the show?
Yes. So in October, actually, Roger Mello will be coming here, and he'll be doing a guest lecture. And there'll be some other programming that we're planning around that. So you should definitely look up on our website for the exact dates. It's going to be a week-long residency. And we're celebrating the publishing of the translation of Griso the Unique by Elsewhere Editions. So Griso the Unique is a book that Roger originally published in Portuguese in 2015, mm-hmm. but now it's finally available in English for the first time, and it's a beautiful edition. I'm really excited to be able to celebrate its launch here in the United States.
Now, that's amazing. There's also, now I read this and I had no idea what to expect. It says visitors can contribute to a collaborative art installation taking inspiration from the waterways and nature featured in Mello's art.
Yes. So
explain yourself, Isabel.
Yeah, we really like to get creative at the Carl, right? You're coming to this museum and you're not just viewing art, you're really getting inspired by the art that's in place, and that makes you want to make something, especially with Roger's work. So Roger loves to draw from nature. He likes to go outside and, you know, sketch what he sees. He grows orchids, so there's lots of flowers in his work.
Huh.
And he also loves the water, so there's a ton of stories that he's illustrated that have to do with the ocean, that have to do with rivers, you know, this idea of connecting oneself with nature, going through all these paths. So we created this little nook in the exhibition where you can walk through a river, and as you're walking through this river, on the side, there's space for you to clip up a drawing that you've made that's inspired by Roger's art. So if you're not an artist, I most certainly am not, we were able to create little silhouettes of the animals and the plants that Roger has already made. So it's just a question of you coloring them in. We have really fun neon paper and colors that pop against that neon paper to sort of give that sense of color. So you sit down first, and then you walk through the river, and you get to put your own art up in the museum and admire the ones that are done by others.
Well, one of the things that when I first look at, and if it wasn't for the Eric Carle, I would never have known Roger Mello's art, but it's filled with wildlife and nature.
Yes.
And the amazing thing is some of it is sort of imaginary, but a lot of it isn't. Like one of the first works I looked at, and I forget which one it is, there's a beautiful painting of a sunbittern, which is found in Central and South America. And on another one, I mean, there's some of these things are pretty obscure. There's an aardwolf in another one.
Yes.
And I was like, wow. And the works are, we were talking about the word meaning commotion or fun. They're really exuberant. They're really, really, and the use of color in them is incredible. But talk to me about his relationship to the natural world, because he really seems to be fascinated by it.
Yeah, Roger, when he visited, he said that he believes that nature and culture are interdependent. One can't exist without the other. So for him, all this cultural production, you know, books and pictures and television even, can't exist without the nature that surrounds it, the nature that we come from. So really, in his artwork, he tries to honor that connection.
Wow. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Isabel Ruiz-Cano, assistant curator at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art. And we've been talking about Fuzue, Invention and Imagination in the Art of Roger Mello. The word fuzue is a Brazilian word for commotion or fuss. It's sort of on the more positive, exuberant end of that. It's an incredible exhibition of this artist's work. Now, for people who don't know the Eric Carle Museum, Isabel, let's start from the basics. When was the museum founded, and why was it there? It's in a beautiful location too. I want to mention that you go out towards the Connecticut River Valley if you're from the east, and Worcester County is from the east. And it's one of those things, unless you know it's there, you're not going to visit it. And every time I've gone there, there's been several exhibitions up, and it's always fascinating work. So talk to me about the origins of the Eric Carle.
Yeah, so the Eric Carle Museum opened in 2002, and 2002, it really started with Eric Carle's vision of wanting to create a home for picture book art and illustration art in the United States. At the time, there wasn't a museum dedicated to preserving the art of the picture book, and he had traveled to Japan, where actually there are more than 30 museums dedicated to picture books.
Wow.
When he visited, like in the 90s, he was like, I can't believe we don't have these. And he was close with a couple of illustrators in Japan who had their own museums, and they really encouraged him to start it here. So Eric Carle had his studio based out of Northampton for many, many years. And he approached Hampshire College that had this incredible apple orchard. And together they were able to, start working on this building. And originally we only housed Eric Carle's art, but over the years, people got so excited hearing about the museum that we have, I think, about, more than 9,000 pieces in our collection at this point.
And not just of Eric Carle's work.
Not just of Eric Carle.
So there's a permanent collection to the Eric Carle Museum. Wow.
There's a permanent collection. And what's very interesting about it is you can't see the same things all the time because picture book art illustrations are very delicate. They're made on paper. So you can only show them for about 6 months at a time. So we're constantly having to change our shows. We're constantly reimagining how to present, what to show you. So there's always something new here.
It's like I said, my personal experiences there, going there over the last decade or so, I've always been amazed. First of all, I love exhibitions of work that I read the books as a kid, or I'm familiar with the work as a parent. And it's amazing to see the works face-to-face as opposed in the book. You were talking about that before. I'll never forget, I saw works that were from Golden Books at the Eric Carle. And to see those works as actual artworks hanging in a museum was a unique experience. It was really special. And I got to understand the artistry behind the illustrations.
Yes, and that's really at the core of our mission, is to elevate these illustrations into art, right? We want them to be recognized as proper works of fine art. That's what they are. And what's very special about them is that they're the first kind of fine art that you interact with. When you start learning how to read, that's the art that you see.
Yeah.
So it's an incredible opportunity to be able to see the art that, you touched, that you maybe drooled upon, that you maybe chewed if it was a board book up on the walls.
It's so true, because I grew up with Golden Books, and I was into that artwork was really inspiring to me as a child. And to see what the works really actually looked like as a piece of art with pencil lines or whatever, to see the sketches, it's an incredible experience to see that. And you really get to appreciate these people as artists, not just illustrators. Is there a conservation? You were mentioning before that a lot of these works, especially if they're watercolors, they can't be exhibited too long because they're not light fast.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a conservation going on all the time at the Eric Carle?
We work very closely with the Williamstown Art Conservation Center services museums from all across New England. So, you know, they're an hour away, and we do have check-ins with them about conservation. You know, we request to conserve certain works of art, but we make it a point to take as much care as possible ourselves with the artwork.
Now, do you exhibit periodically from the collection?
Yes, we do. So we always have an Eric Carle exhibition going on, except for the 2 weeks, and ends up being 4 weeks, 2 weeks when we rotate exhibits. Mm-hmm. And we do try to pull from the permanent collection as much as possible.
Of his work?
Yes, from of his books, and then from the permanent collection that we have of other illustrators.
Well, you have these huge paintings as you walk inside the building by Eric Carle that are just dramatic, these really wall-sized works of Eric Carle's.
Yes. So I love talking about these because there is one box that we have in our archives that are all of Eric's notes for what he envisioned the museum to look like. And originally, he wanted to have something that's not too different from the river walkway that we've created in Roger Mello. He wanted to create this sort of all-encompassing spiral entryway into the art galleries.
Oh, wow.
But that was too complicated. So what he did is he laid down Tyvek, which is that insulation material that he used in construction.
Yeah.
And created these murals using a giant broom and
oh my god,
all of his paint to look like the collage papers that he worked with. So we have the broom actually in our collection.
Oh, cool.
We have the shoes that he wore.
Are there photographs of him painting it?
Yes, there are photographs of him painting it. And I think we're working on getting them up online. So
I would love
to.
Well, you know, now that I know that, I can recognize the broom brush strokes in the works. I never knew that before. That's like amazing. Wow. So are there going to be other exhibitions up in the fall?
Yes. So in November, we're going to have an exhibition celebrating the 50th anniversary of the book of Free to Be, You and Me, the record by Marlo Thomas.
Yep.
So it's very exciting. We're going to be showing actually a lot of the visual culture and the material culture that was surrounding this book and this phenomenon. There was a board game. There were records, right? The record was the first thing. There was a TV show. And it's been reissued several times. So that'll be up in November. And then in September, we're exploring the relationship between Eric Carle and Anne Benedict, who was his longtime editor. She was the one who made The Very Hungry Caterpillar possible. She traveled all over the world trying to find a printer who would actually make the book come to life. So we're really trying to honor her and her collaboration. That exhibition is promising to look incredible as well.
So can I stop here for a second, Isabel? Mm-hmm. So did he originally have a problem getting that book that's now so famous published?
He didn't have a problem getting it published. I think he had a problem getting it actually made into a physical book because if you remember, The Very Hungry Caterpillar has these little holes in it and it's got, you know, pages of different sizes. In the United States, there wasn't somebody that could do that at the time. So funnily enough, what Anne Benedict ended up doing was traveling to Japan and finding a printer there that would make the holes in the book just so that it would come out. And Eric Carle was one of the first illustrators to do that for his books, to use these die cuts and make them a little bit more interactive.
That's fascinating. So when is that exhibition going to be up?
It's going to be up in the first week of September.
And now we're almost out of time, but I want to make sure we know where the Eric Carle is. Can you just describe briefly and when it's open?
Yeah, so we are on 125 West Bay Road in Amherst, Massachusetts. It's on the Hampshire College campus, and we are open Wednesday through Sunday from 10 p.m. until 4 p.m.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We love to welcome visitors, so please come in. We've got an incredible art studio where you can make art inspired by the works on view. We have a lovely little area for families to have a snack at. We've got an apple orchard on site, a 100-year-old apple orchard.
So that's part of the original apple orchard.
It's part of the original apple orchard. You know, Eric was also very passionate about the environment, so we wanted to preserve the apple orchard. And you can come pick apples in September if you so come. Please pick all of the apples. We get too many.
I never knew that. So you just invite people to go out and pick an apple?
Yes.
I love that. Come on, that doesn't happen in most art museums. Or any other art museums. I can't think of another art museum that happens at. That's amazing. I always find the Eric Carle to be, first of all, family friendly. And you can't say that about a lot of art museums. And also, it's just a wonderful space. There's something about the space I just enjoy.
It is. And, you know, we are for families, but you can also come as an adult by yourself. The first time I came, I was in college and it was too hot. So my friends and I decided to go to the Eric Carle Museum because it was air conditioned. We saw the Paddington exhibition and we loved it. We spent like 2 hours at the art studio.
That's it. I don't come with children. Yeah. I just come with my significant other, and that's it. Well, we're out of time, Isabel. Hopefully we're going to talk again. You're listening. My guest tonight has been Isabel Ruiz Cano, assistant curator for the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art. It's a beautiful museum. And we've been talking about an exhibition. The artwork in this exhibition is just incredible. It's Futsue, Invention and Imagination in the Art of Roger Mello. It's going to be up till January 5th, 2025. Isabel, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.